Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this worship service. Thank you so much for being here. I'm bringing back with me today some warm greetings and some fond hellos in the Lord from the Piedmont Road congregation. I was happy to be there this past Wednesday speaking on their summer series, and I enjoyed that very much. They were friendly, and I told them, if you're ever in our area, come and visit us at the Augusta Road congregation. We send folks who go that way to their congregation, and so if they were ever in our area, I wanted them to know we'd be looking for them to come here. I want to talk about God's incredible word this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we have a block passage of scripture that gives us a collage of pictures that all tie into God's word, right? I'm thinking about some of the things I see in people's houses. You know, maybe there will be the word family, or there will be the word love, or there will be the word home. And then coming off of that, there will be some pictures that relate to that. We have that same thing in our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and following, and it all relates to God's incredible word. And I want to talk briefly this morning about God's word and the impact that it should have in our lives. We're approaching our busy season. I know you know that. And it kind of seems that really we just transition from busy season to busy season. I remember being bored during summers as a kid. Not anymore. I don't think there's you know, the ability to get bored anymore. Maybe some folks do, but there's so much going on that it just seems really, really impossible to get bored and to stop and even catch one's breath. So I think we need to remind ourselves of the importance of thinking about basic matters, pausing, reflecting, and never ever getting too far removed from God's word. Let's read about it. Let's notice some things about it together from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Here the Apostle Peter says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," that's where I want to stop first. God's word is the truth. I know that sounds like a very simple thing and something that you're just kind of supposed to say in a church service. John 17:17 very famously declares, "God's word is truth." Jesus says that. John 17:17 again. And I understand how that sounds this morning. But go with me for a second. There are so many subjective ideas out there, right? Well, what's the best way to raise your children? Well, there are a whole lot of different answers to that question. What's the best way to have an election? Well, there are a whole lot of different answers to that question, you know. What's the best kind of economic system to follow? There are some different answers to that question. And everyone feels at liberty to chime in and give their thoughts and opinions and subjective ideas. I saw somebody on Facebook. Of course, this was on Facebook, right? He said, "I'm going to prove just how easy it is to have an online argument." And he puts a picture of a stick and he says, "This is a stick." Sure enough, you know, there are people who take issue and take exception and think that he's wrong, and on it goes, right? Everyone seems to be his or her own self-appointed expert of all matters of life. So it's refreshing, isn't it? Do you find it refreshing? I do. To pick up this book right here and say, this is the answer. This is the answer. This is the truth, right? This is the truth. So we don't have to worry about whether or not we're right. If we are studying appropriately, studying diligently, using correctly God's word, well, then we have right here in in our little hands the truth. And that's empowering. That's empowering, you know. In the religious world, there's a whole lot of subjectivity. And there are a whole lot of people who say, hey, you know, if this is what you believe is okay, then okay, right? There are no shortage of people who are willing to agree to disagree. Let's just kind of move on. And we can't do that with everything. We can do that with some things. We can't do that with everything. And it's important for us to stop and say, hey, you know, regardless of what the world tells me, regardless even of what my preacher tells me, I know that I can turn to the Bible and it'll be the truth. All right, here's another characteristic of God's incredible word, another picture hanging off of this title of God's word. It can be obeyed. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, God has given us a word that we can follow. I know that's a very reasonable statement, but I say it because there are a lot of people who look at the Bible as impossible to obey, right? And they tell us all the time that it's just too hard. It's impossible to do what God wants us to do. Well, it is difficult. It is difficult. And those of us who will live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches us, we shall suffer persecution. That's going to happen. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James chapter 1, verse 2. Not if, but when. So, bumps in the road are inevitable. This is going to happen, sure. We're going to have a tough time as Christians, yes. After all, they crucified our leader. John really just kind of gets through with a piercing observation. A mic drop moment, kind of, sort of, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, John says, and this is the apostle of love talking, John says, don't be surprised or don't marvel if the world hates you. John is surprised that they were surprised that the world had problems with them. And John's observation is really solid here. John says, wait just a minute. Don't forget, please don't forget what they did to the man we're following. What they did to the man that we're following is, well, you know, they treated him poorly in his life. He was never given the accolades or the praise or the due that he deserved. And then finally, at the end of his life, they killed him. So don't be surprised when the world doesn't like us. It's going to happen. In fact, if it doesn't happen, then that's something to take note of. Jesus says in Luke 6:46 that we should be worried if everyone speaks well of us. Jesus tells us that we need to be careful, we need to be concerned if everyone says good things about us. Woe when all men speak well of you, Luke chapter 6, verse 26 says, because that's what they did to all the false prophets before. So if everybody you know is just so happy about how your Christianity is, that's a red flag. That seems perhaps a little counterintuitive. We think this acceptance is a good thing, but it might not always be. You know, it might not always be. If people are accepting us, who should be learning the truth from us, Well, then we need to assess how good of a representative we are of the Lord. We need to make sure that we are being honest and forthright with His Word. We need to make sure that we are clearly communicating God's will, that we ourselves are seen obeying God's Word. And when we do this sort of thing, they're not going to like us. They're not going to like us. A meme on Facebook said once, "Jesus is hated because sin is loved." That's true. And so when we try to do our Christian best to be like Christ in this world, they will see, they will notice, and the majority of them will not like it. But we can obey this word. It's possible for us to. It's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging, sure. But listen, it's going to be definitely worth it. The reward for obeying the Lord's word is going to be very, very worth it. And we need to make sure that we stay as faithful as we can so that when He comes, we have that reward that He's going to give to all of those who are obedient to Him. We can do this. It's hard. It's tough. It's a struggle. It's challenging on one's family. I'm saying these things this morning, and maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, it's not that hard. It's not that tough. It's not that much of a struggle for my family. Well, that's a warning sign, right? Because people who are really, really, really good at obeying the Lord talk to us about the challenges and the struggles of it. People who have Christian families talk about the challenges and the struggles and the sacrifices of having these Christian families. And if you're here in church this morning with your family, you're thinking, well, that's not that hard. Then that is perhaps a warning sign that maybe, just maybe, something is slipping through the cracks. Because obeying the truth of God's word, it can be done, yes, but it's going to be a challenge. We can do it. We can do it. No excuse making here. Don't tell yourself it's just too hard or there's just too much in the Bible that we have to read and follow. Don't tell yourself any of those things, because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, we can obey the word. We can. And if we rewind a little bit to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, is where Jesus is talking about a judgment day scene in which He is rendering judgment on people, and He's telling them that they have to obey His word in order to please Him. We have to do the things that He has told us to do. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will be saved, but who? Who's going to be saved, Jesus? Well, those who do the will of the Father in heaven. God's word can be obeyed. You can do it. We're on the same page here. Yes, the struggle is real. It's hard to obey God's word. It's difficult in this world to stand out as a Christian, but we can do it. And it's very rewarding. It will be very rewarding. God's word, another thing hanging from the title of God's word is this: it purifies the soul. How's that sound? That sounds pretty good, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says that we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. So we know, unfortunately, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We know that that is not a good thing, Romans 3:23. We know that the wages of sin, the just deserts for sin, is death. That's a problem. That's a big problem. It's a big problem when you put that together. Look, sin means that you should be separated from God. and everyone has sinned. Oh no! But we can purify our soul through obeying God's word. God's word is called incorruptible next. You see that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. God's word cannot be messed up. There are a lot of things that we can mess up. Right now, I'm hoping that I don't mess up this grass that got put in my backyard. I'm hoping that I don't mess it up. I'm hoping that we follow the recipes and nothing gets messed up. When Julie cooks, I hope that this works out all right like it's supposed to, and more often than not, it does. But we can mess some things up. God's word, however, cannot be corrupted. That's a beautiful thing about God's word. John chapter 12, verse 48 is a favorite verse of mine that I like to think about along these lines, where Jesus says, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God's word cannot be changed. God's word cannot be edited. God's word just needs to be obeyed. And if we could change God's word, we wouldn't do anyone any favors at all. Suppose, for example, we could take the requirement of being baptized right out of the Bible. Poof. We're just going to mark that verse out. Mark 16:16 won't say what it says anymore. And we will just go. We will go with an altered version of God's word. Great, right? Wrong. Because we're not going to be judged by the changes we make to God's word. You're not going to be judged by the modifications that preachers make to God's word. You're going to be judged by God's word itself. The same, Jesus says, the words that I have spoken, the same words will judge you in the last day. It's very refreshing to remind ourselves. Everything seems that it's changing around us. A lot of things seem that they're getting worse around us. Not with God's word. God's word won't change. God's word won't get worse. It's going to stay the same, and it's going to judge us when our life is over. God's word allows us to be born again. This is a great thing. We're born again. We're made new because of God's word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 23. Being born again, he says. We know that this new birth is so important in our spiritual lives. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 3. And he describes it as a life-changing, life-altering process. The Apostle Paul, whose words we love on this subject, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ, but I'm alive." Imagine that. Dead, but alive again. What is that? Well, that's a new birth. And Paul says, "This life that I now have," Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "is not mine anymore. It belongs to the Lord." The Lord gave his life for us, and so he asks in place for us to give our lives to him, to be a living, bleeding, daily sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God's word lives and abides and endures forever. You've been, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23, you've been born again, not with corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word is not going anywhere. In fact, the quotation here that Peter uses tells us that flesh is as grass, the glory of man like the flower of grass. This grass, it withers, it fades away, it dies. But the word of the Lord endures forever. God's word is here to stay. We can't change it. We can't get rid of it. What we need to do, what we must do, is obey it. God's word lives and endures and abides forever. And this morning, I want to tell you what you need to do in order to obey this word. You have to obey it. It's not going to yield to you. You obey it. God gave us this word. This word tells us what God wants us to do. And this morning, we remind ourselves that we have to obey these steps to the plan of salvation to become a good Christian. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's the Lord's will for us. That's what He wants us to do, to wash away these sins. Our soul that is in such desperate need of this washing, it contacts the Lord's blood, and it's washed away. These sins are washed away from us. And then we're born again. Jesus tells us in John 3 that we're born of the Spirit and of the water, and we contact that salvation that is in Christ by entering Christ through the means of baptism. This morning, if you're ready to be baptized, we would love to help you with that. It would be our pleasure to do that. In fact, if you're here and you're not quite ready, maybe you're hearing this plan of salvation for the first time, or you haven't fully studied it from the Bible yet, that's okay. We were all there once. Everyone in this room was there once. And we would love to study with you these steps in the plan of salvation. I realize this morning I'm talking mostly to people who have already become a member of the Lord's church, and that's great. I'm talking to us this morning about God's word, which we still need in our life. We can't separate ourselves from it. We need to make sure that God's word is a regular part of who we are. And this morning, as you analyze your situation, maybe you find that you're not being as faithful to the Lord as you need to be. We understand. Listen, we talked in this sermon about how tough it is to be a good Christian. We all sympathize. No one is looking to be mean or harsh or judgmental. But we do want to encourage one another lovingly, firmly as well. We want to encourage one another to stay faithful to God, because literally there's no other way to be saved. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to go to heaven so bad. And in order for you to get there, you have to obey God's word, His plan of salvation, and you have to be faithful to it. This morning, if you need to respond confessing sin, we would love to be there to pray for you. We're not interested in what you did wrong. We're not interested in gossip. That's not the thing. We want to know how we can help you be a better Christian, or to become a Christian this morning if you have that need. Let us invite you to come while we stand and sing, won't you please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.